This is the Food Talk Show on Channel Radio with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Chrissy Ellis. We are here at the Allergy and Free From Show at Olympia in West London. We are on stand L221 and we are in the Love Natural Love You section.
We are indeed.
We are. And very nice it is too.
It is, and we've got a lovely guest here.
We have, and we've got our first guest of the day, and it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Food Talk Show, Dr. Marilyn Glenville. Marilyn, good morning, welcome.
Good morning, Paul.
It's really nice to see you. You've got a range of your books here,
yes.
And you were just telling me off air a little bit about you, so why don't you tell the listeners a bit about you, what you do. You're a nutritionist, I understand.
I'm a nutritionist, and I specialise in women's health, although we do see men as well, but we have an expertise in women's health. Anything where there may be a hormonal problem, like polycystic ovary syndrome, fibroids.
Like what, sorry?
Polycystic ovary syndrome.
Okay, right.
Fibroids, endometriosis, women going through the menopause who are struggling right. with the symptoms. We also see men and women as a couple who are aiming to get pregnant. Maybe okay. it's taking them a long time, or they're going through IVF, and they need a bit of help nutritionally to actually boost their fertility. So our passion is really using nutrition either for digestive problems, lowering cholesterol, anything to do, but also hormonal issues for women.
Okay, that's really fascinating. And I understand you're doing a series of talks here at the show?
I am. I'm speaking every day, Saturday right. 2 days as well. So I'm talking on some days on natural alternatives to sugar, which right. I've written a book, and it only came out in March. So
you've got a copy of the book here.
Yeah, very
you're quite a prolific author.
I have. I've written 14 books.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. And so tell us a little bit about the book, Natural Alternatives to Sugar.
Yeah, so I've been talking about this for a long time. I've been in the nutrition field now over 30 years, and I've always felt that sugar was the issue, not fat the problem.
Absolutely.
And that we've been going after the wrong food, and therefore we've still got an obesity crisis, type 2 diabetes crisis in the UK.
Yeah.
So I've gone into the sugar side of it, why it is negative, and not just the fact that it makes us overweight. It increases our risk of heart disease, cancer, Alzheimer's, as well as type 2 diabetes.
It's really interesting you say that. Personally, I don't actually like sugar. I don't have a sweet tooth at all, and I shy away from anything too sweet. And years ago, I lived in America, in the USA, and everything is sweet. Even the bread. I couldn't even eat the bread. It was just so sweet. And I really don't understand why we do that. But I guess one of the problems is we've now so used to it in our diet.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that a lot of people have got hooked on.
And they've got hooked on that taste as well. And unfortunately, the problem is the hidden sugars.
Yeah.
Like you said, it can be in bread, tomato ketchup, baked beans, spaghetti sauces.
Yeah.
The problem is it's hidden in foods that everybody wouldn't even associate because they're savoury.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're getting a huge amount of teaspoons of this hidden sugar every day.
Absolutely. So looking at the title of your book, I'm drawing a conclusion that there are some natural alternatives.
There are, and it, actually when I wrote the book, it was surprising because some of them that I thought were natural weren't as natural as I thought
really?
They were.
Okay.
Yes, and because they've been commercially produced, it means corners have been cut and they're being made differently to what they would have been traditionally. A good one is agave, where it would have been made from Mexico, would have been made from the sap of the plant and then boiled down for hours. Obviously they can't make a lot like that in terms of the volume.
No.
This is a lot of the problem, isn't it? Is that once we go into mass production of anything, it changes the nature of it. But one of the things we see a lot of on the Food Talk Show now is a lot of people returning to more organic, more naturally produced foods.
People are starting to think about it a little
And Chris is absolutely right. People are thinking about it more. They're prepared to spend a few more pennies on buying something that's been well produced but not mass produced.
Yeah.
And that, at long last, is a big breakthrough, and it will certainly help with this kind of thing.
Yeah,
I guess.
And then that's my feeling. It's for me, it's all about how something is, whether it's refined or not. How close is it to its natural state? That's what I'm after.
Yeah.
I know some things might be refined and the sweetness might be good for diabetics, but that's not what I'm looking at. I'm looking at it from the natural, the unrefined state, organic where possible, to go back to those roots and not have the refined foods that have a negative effect.
It was interesting, actually. I interviewed a couple of days ago a young lady that she provides tea, and somebody said, is it organic? And she said, well, not in the strict sense of organic as we mean it here, but it's actually uber organic because it's actually grown on the top of a mountain in Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
So it has no pollutants in it at all because it's too high up.
Yeah.
And that's very true, isn't it?
Yeah. And oftentimes they might say it's wildcrafted because you can't put organic on that, but that would be even super organic.
Exactly,
it would be.
Yeah.
It would be.
Absolutely. So Marilyn, you've got some other books here, and I just want to briefly touch on those. Fat Around the Middle, we'll skip over that.
It's been very popular, that one, for men.
For some reason. Okay, we'll go with it. We'll go with it. But they've obviously asked you on here to have a go at me about this. So what's the Fat Around the Middle all about?
Well, it's about being apple shaped. It does affect men and women, and it is a more of a male pattern of weight gain, so you'd be more susceptible to put weight on around the middle anyway.
Exactly, yeah.
The trouble is, it's not a natural weight gain pattern for women. We're more pear shaped.
Right.
And the trouble is, when your weight moves up around the middle of the body, it's very active.
Right.
The fat when it's on the hips just sits there. And I know women don't like it and do hip and thigh diets, but it isn't active fat. It's not metabolically active. The fat around the middle starts producing substances that can raise cholesterol, it can cause problems with insulin, it can cause inflammation, it even changes our appetite, it makes us eat more.
Right.
So it's a very different fat and a very different risk to our health if it sits around the middle.
And tell me, very briefly, is it possible to shift isolated bits of fat? So if you have a muffin top, like I do, can you target shifting that, or you know, do you have to just generally lose fat and weight?
I would have to say for fat around the middle, you can. You wouldn't do it if you've got bingo wings or something like that. That would be hard. But this has gone on for a different reason, and it's being driven mainly by the hormone cortisol, which is the hormone that comes out with adrenaline. It's one of our stress hormones. Mm. So it's a message to the body to actually store fat around the middle, because it's close to our liver and major arteries, so our body can get at that fat store easily.
Right. Okay.
So it's a different mechanism of why it's going on than just overeating, and it does mean you can target it and get rid of it.
How?
The answer to that is to read the book.
Well, you could come to the talk, but you'll miss that one.
Yeah.
And the way people can know, so a simple one for the listeners, is they get out a tape measure.
Okay.
They measure their waist and they measure the hip. Divide the hip measurement into the waist, and for a woman, you want to be less than 0.8. For a man, you've got a bit more leeway, less than 0.95. And then you'd know whether you've got too much fat around the middle. Easy way to do it.
I think I know already.
I think I do as well.
Marin, it's a fascinating subject. I just want to touch on the last book that you've got here, and I know you've got lots more books, which is Natural Solutions to Irritable Bowel Syndrome.
Yes.
Just go over that a little bit.
Well, this is an allergy show, obviously, and a free from, so people are looking for ways of helping any kind of digestive issues. Mm. And IBS is very common. It's almost as common, well, it is more common than the common cold for people to take days off work.
Mm.
And it's very debilitating. And I think the problem is that it's almost, well, it is a diagnosis of exclusion. Everything else has been ruled out, and then they're just left with this diagnosis where you've got irritable bowel syndrome.
Yeah.
And the bowel is irritable, and the question is always why?
Yeah.
Why is it irritable? Is it foods that are irritating it? Is there some situation going on in the digestive system? So it's very common. It changes people's quality of life. We've had people carrying extra clothes with them because they're worried about an attack of diarrhea. So it does affect their quality of life, and yet there are simple solutions to help with it.
Fantastic. Marilyn, we could talk to you all day.
Yes,
fascinating lady. We're going to come and listen to some of your talks here at the show. I know you have clinics both in Harley Street and Tunbridge Wells.
Yes.
But if the general audience want to find out more about you, do you have a website where
they can go on to marilynglenville.com. It's all educational, and it covers all of the information about female health and health generally. So they can download anything they need.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Dr. Marilyn Glenville, thank you so much for joining us on the Food Talk Show.
Thank you.